I know, God call. I'm putting my cell phone to in case God calls me so I don't have to give my homily. Calling me, God. Because today, my homily could be a honeycomb for those who believe and accept the truth and the teaching from God. But it could be the stumbling block and anger for some who think about them more than God. So, do I care? I do care, but I will follow the wills of God. And what God handed it to me, because when I speak the word of God, I'm not speaking to myself for myself. Every time I'm standing here, I'm not speaking on behalf of me. Because we share the word of God, and I speak on the voice of God. So that, no matter, then I have to follow the words of God. Maybe you'll be, say, Father, so sweet to hear that words. But maybe you say, oh, Father, that is horrible, because I'm not accepted. It's on your choice, not mine. But mine is to speak the truth of God. So let's dig into this. The gospel you hear today, Jesus was tested by the people, by the Pharisees, when they deal with the sacrament of marriage. Not only in time of Jesus with pressure about it, but now in our time, the church continued to be pressure, threatened, because whatever we teach, whatever we follow from the teachings of God about the sacrament of marriage. If we look at the first reading, you can hear that God, creation, he make male, and he want to find a suitable and equal someone or something to fit with the man. And so sacraments of marriage is a suitability and equality between male and female. God didn't bring animals to be partnered with male or female, right? God didn't bring, even though I talk about male to male, to suitable. God didn't bring any other species in the world, in the universe, to be suitable and equally with the male in the sacrament of marriage. But the unity in the marriage was only suitable and equality about male and female. And that is non-irritable, replaceable, or any bending to about the unity, the unions of male and female in marriage. No matter that we live in society with disoriented desire, hardness of our hearts, we want to change that teaching, that creation that God made it. That's why Jesus said, because of the hardness of your heart, Moses write that commandment. But because now, in our time, because the hardness of our hearts or disoriented desire, someone, some root of authority to force and to pressure the church leaders to change and to bend that teaching about the unity of male and female in the sacrament of marriage. Never. If I, because of your worry about your anger and your hatred, and I say that is not right anymore, then we should be not have the church of God anymore. Because if we are following Christ and following God, we have to observe his teaching. And that teaching is the foundation of all the church believe in. We can develop, but we cannot change the church teaching, the teachings of God. And you know, this is something because God create male and female and bring that unity, become one flesh, the union of them, because for the benefactions, not for God himself. God didn't create it for his benefits. God didn't bring male and female together because of his benefit, but before the goodness for us. The goodness that God wants us to live on so that we can multiply, we can make dominion, and we can make the world fruitful with his blessing. And so, you think you're better than God? You think you're wiser than God? Or you think you can be God? That's why we want to change or to bend and to manipulate others to follow whatever our heart desire, not come from God, but come from ourselves. You see that we are living in this society because of that. We live in the threat that people, even though our members, those who call Christian, follow Christ, they say, if you not do this, we will leave the church. I'm serious. This is not a done deal. I'm saying this is not a deal because the sacrament of marriage is not a deal for everyone. And say, if you do this, then I will stay in the church. If you not change the concept, the teaching of God about the unity of male and female in the church, in the sacrament of marriage, we will leave the church. What happened? If I will answer you, I'm saying, go ahead. I say, go ahead, because God invites us. God is provide every goodness to us, and he show us the way, show us to make our life fruitful. You are the one who make freedom of choice to live it or to not live it. But the consequences is the one day we stand before the Lord and we answer all that. And so because the secret of the sacrament of marriage is not only the freedom of the two persons, male and female, come together with their freedom of love and also the commitment to one another. So that to build up the fundamental foundation as a family, a small society. And so more than that, they have to work with God. They have willing to receive the mission, the duty that God handed to them to procreate the new life. So that to fulfill the mission when God invites us to be multiplied, to dominion the world by the new life that God sent as a gift through human beings. And so we work with God because of that. So in that sacrament of marriage, life come about. The new life of God come about. And because of that, the new vocation will come about. And so the sacrament of marriage is only the first sacrament that God the Father founded. Through the freedom of two, male and female, come together with their consent to make that valid. The church won't change about it. And so, because of that, I want to thank you to all of you. To all of you that you are courage. Maybe you are preparing right now to enter into that sacrament. Thank you for that merit to say yes, the courage to say yes to that sacrament. But also thank you for all the parents that you are together. Maybe 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, maybe unto death do we part, that to commit and faithful to the sacrament you are enter into, to be example for the world, for especially for family members, to recognize this is not just a freedom of choice, but also as invitation that God asks and invites us to enter, to show the love, the example of God's love and faithful to his people. If you think about that, the beauty of the sacrament is so great. But also, like I say to you, from that, the life is come about because you are willing, open your hearts to accept the gift that God gave it to each of us as a new life. If you look at your children, how beautiful that is. This is the life that God gave it to us. The future that God wants us to look at, nurture, and embrace, and also protect it. So this week we celebrate the respect for life. If you look at the bundles out there, if it's the true number, about every cross represent for 1.5 million unborn baby was killed, then I say we are dead number. But also, I'm thank you for all the parents, especially my parents. You know, my mom and dad. 18 children, and I'm number 14. I'm thank you because I don't know how my father think or my mother think, but I know my father likes foot a soccer. That's why he wants to create his own team. So we have 11 boys and 7 girls. And I'm number 14. I'm saying, I'm thankful for my dad because he not worry about the difficulties of life that he don't want this baby. Even at the time we are forced into civil war, the collapse of Vietnam, people live in the difficulties of life, materials, lacking material. But I still born in that time, thanks to my dad and mom. And so to all of you, thank you to all of the parents, especially those mother and father in time of trouble to make a decision rather to continue to carry out the mission of God to bring life into this world. Thank you for all of you to make that courage. And so reminds us, my brothers and sisters, this body is not yours. I say again, nobody, no one will say to me, my body, my choice. This is not your body either. Because this one, this life, first come from God. And with the help of your, with the work and co-work with your parents, life come about. And I will raise this body, first of all, by my Father, Heavenly Father in heaven. And after that, by my earthly mother and father. And that's why I have this one. I will take care of this. So this is not belong to my, but belong to God. Remember that. Just give you an example. You know, I have a friend, very close friend. He had a family members who doesn't have a home. He let him borrow the home to stay in. And so many years, his family member took the home and sell it. And he just said, oh, I live in this home, this is my home. What do you think? Is that just? Same thing. Is that just when you say, this is my body, my choice? But technically, from the moment, the first moment, this is not belong to us. This life is not belong to us, belong to God, because one day we will return that to God. And so, I don't want people to say that this is my body, my choice. No. Now you have the right to take care on behalf of God, to take care of this body, this life, so one day we will return to God, including when we breathe in, when breathe out the word, you know, the Spirit of God. That's not because we live, because we breathe in our oxygen. Remember that story when God breathed in our nostril, so we become the living being. That means to us, we breathe it in and breathe it out, the Spirit of God himself. So, we
only receive this body. God entrusts this body to us because he loves us and because he wants us to take care of it and walk this journey until we will be united with him again. And so, thank you again to all of the parents. You are great. You are a great example to all of us. From you, the vocation of priesthood, the vocation of single life, the vocation of religious life, vocation of being a good human beings about. And God bless your work. Bless all of you.